Hey everyone, welcome to the Becoming Unassailable podcast. This podcast is all about helping your executive or leadership team thrive amid change and disruption by embracing forward change together as a team, which is the only way for your organization to become unassailable. My name is Mark Kenny, speaker, author, strategic advisor, and each episode we'll tackle a challenge that is keeping your team from embracing forward change together. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to rebuild trust on your team. Trust is the foundational ingredient of any team, and most of us know that we need to build trust, but how do you actually do it? Especially after the last couple of years, whether you are a leader or a member of the team. We're going to tackle that today. For this challenge, I turn to an expert. Justin Patton is an executive coach, leadership presence expert, and award-winning author of four books who challenges individuals to use their presence to communicate with stronger trust, both in the workplace and with the people they love the most. Justin's newest book is Your Road to Yes, How to Build Trust in Yourself and with Others. If you are struggling to build trust with your team, this episode is for you. And trust me, you are not alone. So please subscribe to this podcast, share it with someone else, and let's get on to the conversation. Justin Patton, thank you for joining me in this conversation. I'm so glad to have you.
I'm super glad to be here, Mark. Thank you.
So I have a question for you. So I went through your book, Your Road to Yes, which is fantastic. What I like about it is there's lots of practical suggestions in there, and it really provides an overview of how to build trust, which is that's the subtitles, how to build trust. So I have a question for you.
Sure.
What is one piece of advice that right off the bat you would give to a leader of, let's say, an executive team and how they can build trust in their team?
Yeah. The number one piece of advice would actually be the theme of the book, that trust is your biggest competitive advantage. And the reason I say that, especially to people in management leadership, is trust is the only thing that keeps people coming back for more. So we always say we want people to be engaged. We want them to be loyal. We want them to have good relationships with peers and our customers. Well, that is only a result of trust. And so there, I think management's number one responsibility is to make sure that they're fostering an environment where trust is can actually be built among the team.
What is there a shift? If I'm a manager or a leader of a team, is there a shift I need to make to really embrace that? To really understand that my role is really about building trust? What does that mindset shift look like, if there is one?
I think that's very different based on an individual and their leadership style. What I would say is, if you have a manager or a leader who is only the head part of leadership and very strategic and only really just driving results from their headspace, I think they're going to have to figure out, it's not about only going to your heart space, it's about head and heart both. And are you able to lean in a little bit more to the heart space so that you can build trust and get results through people, not despite people and dragging them along with you?
So what's a practical way I could do that? I know I need to build trust in this team. Maybe I know it's lacking a little bit. It's not quite there. We can do better. How do I do that? What's a practical way for me to do that?
Well, I'm going to answer it by kind of talking about the title of the book. So the reason the title is called Your Road to Yes was because I feel like I was trying to make this idea of concept of trust, which can feel overwhelming and vague and not tactical, which is what you're talking about. How do we make it something that's easier to understand? And so the idea was, as a leader, as a partner, as a parent, can you say yes to three questions? And the question was, do I take people with me along the journey? Which is all about transparency. Number two was, do I make it safe for people to open up? Which is all about tact. And the third thing is, do I make people feel less alone? And that idea is all about the idea of togetherness. And the reason I'm explaining that, Mark, is because if you're asking me, what can a leader very tangibly do? Well, out of those three areas of tact, transparency, and togetherness, you might have a manager that says, you know what, I am really good at being transparent, but sometimes I'm super transparent, but I don't manage the tactfulness of how it comes out. So maybe tact is their area that they need to lean into and really focus on over the next few months. Where I've worked with someone this morning who said, you know what, I've realized the idea of togetherness and making people feel less alone. I don't recognize my people. I don't have as much empathy as I need to have. So togetherness was his opportunity that he needed to lean into. But I find that if you want to keep it simple, it really comes down to those three elements if you want to build trust: transparency, tact, or togetherness. We can get in about each one of those, but those are the trust is built when you have people in relationships that are focused on all three of those things.
I love that, because that breaks it down for me. Because like you said, a lot of people I talk to, well, and even myself, sometimes trust can seem a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like it's this big topic, like how do I actually take it down? So that gives me three things to really assess myself and how I'm doing. And reading between the lines there, I need to do that as the leader. Like, how am I being transparent? And what does my tack look like? And how am I building togetherness in the team?
Let me give you an example during COVID. So I had, I was working with an organization and I'm coaching some people, and the company made a decision to change the bonus structure of their leaders. Without really explaining the why behind why they did it, people were left wondering, is this permanent? Is it temporary? The next week, I was out speaking to another organization in the same industry. And after I got done sharing the story, I didn't name the organization. They said, after it was over, one of their leaders came up to me and said, three of their people applied here this week. Because wow. So a lack of transparency in that company cause people to go out and create their own story and narrative and said, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else where I feel like I can start the trust over and that they'll be more transparent with me. And again, trust is your biggest competitive advantage because it keeps people coming back. And when our relationships lack transparency, tact, or togetherness, it will eventually cause people to leave.
Wow. That's a powerful story, Justin. I love that. And when you're talking about transparency, one of the things that really stuck out to me in your book was a comment. I really wanted to draw this out was, and I just had a mind blank, but it was,
I was like, uh-oh, where are you going, Mark? What are you going to do?
I'm thinking of some of the teams that I know of and some of the leaders who are like, I know that there's not just a lack of trust. There's like distrust on my team.
Sure.
And so I want to talk about that a little bit as well, which I think gets back to the three T's that you were talking about. But what you said is that my daughter would laugh at me, Justin, because I'm having a hard time reading this.
No, it's
like not. You're old, Dad. You cannot heal what you do not talk about.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good because there's so many things in life, in our relationships and teams that everybody kind of knows, but we just can't have the uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. And so I really love that, especially from the standpoint of someone that maybe is like, how do we even start this process? How do we heal? Because there's been some hurt or there's a lack of trust. We don't trust each other. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit? Someone that's listening that is in that boat, like what? I don't even know what to do.
Yes, I'm going to give you two thoughts though. What you're talking about is this idea of silence. And so here's why. If in the book, I talk about trust is your biggest competitive advantage. If you can buy in that that is true, then what I say is, then silence is your biggest threat. And the reason silence is our biggest threat in relationships is because we all go off to our own corners and we're creating our own stories and our own narratives. And then slowly we start to get resentful. And it is hard to come back from resentment in our marriage, with our boss, anyone. And so when I talk about you can't heal what you don't talk about, is you have to have this idea of transparency and speaking up and communicating how you feel. I always say all people can handle the truth. What they can't handle is silence and secrecy. That is what will destroy the relationship. So now to answer your question about what do you do when trust is broken and we need to repair it, I'm going to just give you four quick steps and we can talk about it if we need to. But I always say, I thought when I did my research, Mark, I was going to come to a conversation like this and be like, here are the four linear steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. I realized and found out it doesn't work that way. So the four steps I'm going to give you are the four steps, but they can be in any order based on the situation that's occurred. So number one is you got to take ownership for your part in whatever happened. You've got to renegotiate the relationship. You are never going back to the same one again. And so can you talk about what do we both need from each other moving forward? You have to ask for or extend forgiveness for what happened. And if you can't do that, then you probably shouldn't be back in the relationship. And then you have to demonstrate a change in behavior. I heard somewhere along the way, someone said the best apology is a change in behavior. I don't need you to keep telling me you're sorry. I've worked with someone in my staff before where I had to give them that feedback because they kept doing the same mistake and they took full ownership. But every time they would do it again. And I go, I have to be honest with you. It feels manipulative because you're not demonstrating the change in the behavior after you own it. So those are the four steps, but based on what happens in my marriage or at work, the order of those things might shift based on what needs to happen.
That boom, Justin, those are awesome. And it sounds like, and I know you touch on this in your book, and I'm going to encourage people to get your book because it's practical ways to, like, if you want to drill down into it, here you go right here. What you've said here and what is required of that is, like, I've got to commit to this. Like, the old way isn't, like, we're not going back to the way the relationship was. We don't want to live that way. We don't want to work that way. We are going to commit to making this better, as hard and as messy as that may be, right?
And it ties back to what you said. You can't heal what you don't talk about. We are no longer going back to the way it was or what it used to be because that didn't work. That's why we're here, right? And so we can't go back to the one we had. Let's figure out what we both need from each other and how we can support each other in a healthy, trusting relationship moving forward. Whether that's saying, I need more transparency. I coached someone this morning who said, you know what, their emotional expression and their EQ is really low. And that person goes, oh yeah, my wife would agree with you there. Mm-hmm. Right. So as a result, so let me tell you why that's important. Because I define trust as the unwavering belief that you are going to have my back. That's what trust is. I believe that Mark, no matter what, we might get in an argument, we might not agree with each other, but I believe that you're always going to have my back. Well, when you don't communicate, then what you do is you send your wife off to the other room to go deal with it on her own. She doesn't feel like you have her back. And so now you got two people that are all handling stuff on their own because someone didn't feel like they could be transparent and speak up.
Yep. Wow. That is so good, Justin. Let me throw out just a couple scenarios. I'm not the leader. I'm a team member.
Yeah.
And I don't like the way the team is functioning because I can see there's a lack of trust on the team. Either it's overt or it's subtle, but it's just not there. I know we can get better. Speak to that person that maybe doesn't have the authority of the leader, but really wants their team to be healthy.
I think two things. I think one is you are responsible for your energy and how you show up. So are you role modeling how to build trust in the way that you lead and communicate on that team? And then I think the only other influence you really have is to, if there's other people on the team you have a really good relationship with that you feel like you could give some feedback, then I think then that's part of the trust between each other. But I've always believed these companies that go out and say, you know, we're a culture of feedback. Just tell it to anyone. I don't agree necessarily with that because I always say you have to earn the right to give people feedback. And because if I trust you and you come to me, Mark, and you're transparent with me and you're tactful, I'm going to hear it differently than this other person that I already lack trust with is being like, hey, I think you're being a jerk. I'm gonna be like, well, I already don't like you. And so, right. So I think we hear it different when it comes from people we have a relationship with. So if someone's on the team, doesn't like how it's going, own your part in that relationship and make sure you're role modeling what trust looks like. And then try to influence the people that you do have a really good relationship with. And if there was a third one, I do think you could always have those conversations with your manager about what you're noticing and ideas that you have. But I think at some point it's also on them to kind of lead that charge.
Got it. Now, second scenario is, I'm the manager. I am the leader. but I just don't, I don't have confidence in my ability to lead. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I feel like I'm going to be embarrassed in taking these steps. In fact, I think you even say in your book a little bit about, I don't trust myself. Well, can you speak to that person a little bit? Like,
yeah.
How about someone in that position?
I would tell you, out of all the executives I've coached in my career, over 90% of all of the issues has always been, it's called low self-regard. It's low self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And so that is a theme across every person I've almost ever coached. So if trust with other people is about this unwavering belief that you're going to have my back, self-trust is the belief that I can have my own back. And how do we develop that? I'm going to give you two thoughts that are just a quick immediate. There's 10 in the book, but the two that I would work with that person on. Number one is speak up, because your voice is directly connected to your confidence. People are like, oh, Mark, I'll speak up once I'm confident. I'm like, boo, it don't work that way. You'll never speak up. You won't speak up your whole life. And what you do is you have the difficult conversation anyways. You lean in to the discomfort. And every time you're like, okay, I got through it. No one died. Like, we're good. So speaking up is one. And two is, I was coaching a guy in a group setting this past week, and he is low self-confidence. And I said to him, do you ever feel like you spend a lot of time asking other people in life, what do you think I should do? And he goes, more time than I should. And I said, here's my second piece of advice. Go on an advice detox, because you have spent so long of your life outsourcing your decision-making to everyone else. You don't even believe in your own choices anymore. So for the next 2 weeks, you don't get to ask anyone in life, what do you think I should do? You're going to learn to trust your own voice and accept the rewards and the consequences that come with those choices.
I love that. And almost lay aside what happens, like not worry about so much what's going to happen anymore, or people's reaction, just make the choice. And
it's never going to be so bad that, like, I always say, you have permission to change course. That's confidence. That's confidence too, is to say, we're never stuck. That at any moment you're like, this ain't working. Let's do something else.
Love it, Justin. This is fabulous. Is there anything else that you would say that I haven't asked? Because trust is such a big issue with teams out there.
If I was to like boil it down to like one thing that everyone can do that's listening to this, is to say, I'm a big believer that sometimes you need a guiding question that you can ask yourself in difficult moments that challenge you to think differently. So here's my question for everyone when they leave here today, is to say, ask yourself, what choice would I make right now if I was focused on building trust? I think the answer to that question will challenge you to really think differently about what you're about to do. So if you were really focused on building trust with your team, would you recognize? Would you have the hard conversation you've been putting off? If you were really focused on building trust with your spouse or your partner, what choice would you do? Would you send them a text because you don't make those emotional deposits anymore? Would you tell them, hey, I miss you, or I love you, or can we, you know what? I've been putting more time in work than I have in our relationship. Can we have a date night Thursday? What would you do if you were more focused on building trust?
Fabulous, Justin. Give me a second. Talk about what it is you do, and I'll put your contact info in the show notes and a little bit like that. But how do you help organizations?
Yeah. So everything I do, I'm an executive coach. So I go in and really help people reimagine how they lead and communicate, and just really communicate in ways that build stronger trust in all parts of their life. That's the thing that I love about what I get to do. It's not just about work. It's if you show up as a jerk at work, you're showing up that way at home. And maybe there's a different way that we can explore together.
Love it. Your Road to Yes, Justin Patton. Get it. Read it with your team. We just touched the surface, but I know so many teams need this. So dig into that. Here's the roadmap right here. Thank you so much for being with me and having this conversation, Justin. I invited you because it is so needed, and I so appreciate and admire the work that you've done in this area. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it, brother.